Welcome to the Real Estate Guys radio program. I'm your host, Robert Helms. We're in New Orleans, Louisiana at the 42nd annual New Orleans Investment Conference. And this is the first of a two-week series on agricultural real estate, how you can profit from farm and agricultural land. And we've got some great guests today on the Real Estate Guys radio program. Are you ready to profit in paradise? Hi, it's Robert Helms. And if you think real estate investing means tenants, toilets, and termites, think again. Located just a short plane ride from the U.S., a virtually untouched paradise awaits. The beautiful country of Belize. When you go to Belize with the Real Estate Guys, you'll spend four fabulous days discovering one of the most intriguing real estate markets I've ever seen. With its jungle rainforests, pristine beaches, and 81-degree turquoise water, Belize is one of the most beautiful places on Earth. Plus, it's considered one of the top seven tax havens in the world. Belize property is on the rise, and many experts think the best is yet to come. But don't just take my word for it. Come experience Belize firsthand at our upcoming investor field trip. When you join us, you'll discover the many reasons we love Belize, like tremendously undervalued beachfront land, super low taxes, ease of doing business, and so much more. Get the details at realestateguysradio.com. Just click on events. See paradise for yourself. Click events at realestateguysradio.com, and I'll see you in beautiful Belize. Welcome to the Real Estate Guys radio program. I'm your host, Robert Helms. Joining me as usual, it's our financial strategist, co-host Russell Gray.
Hey, Robert.
And we're in New Orleans.
We are.
New Orleans, Louisiana, one of our favorite towns to come visit for the 42nd annual New Orleans Investment Conference, the oldest investment conference in the USA.
Yes, and I have eaten my annual quota of charbroiled oysters, and it is the most unbelievable thing. So it has nothing to do with anything except that it's one of the highlights of coming here every year.
The food is so good here. This is a really interesting conference we've attended for the last 5 years. We got to speak several times at this conference, and its heritage is as a gold and precious metal and resource conference. So who's here? Folks who are looking at junior mining, senior mining, owning precious metals, investing in exploration and production of oil and gold, and of course, we're here to talk real estate.
Yeah, exactly. And I think the backstory on this is interesting. So if you're sitting out there going, God, this is a real estate investing show, and you're at a New Orleans investment conference, which is gold and mining. Well, a couple of things. First of all, where do gold and, you know, where are mines? I mean, that's real estate.
So right,
a lot
out of the
times,
dirt.
Real estate just doesn't have to be little green houses and big red hotels. There's a lot of different aspects to real estate investing. The other thing, though, is that when you attend investment conferences, and the reason we attend these investment conferences is that people who are in different asset classes look at the economy from a different perspective. And if you want to have the 360, you've got to look and listen to other people who are following the things that could potentially affect your investing. For example, there's a lot of talk about what the Fed is going to do with interest rates. We talk about that a lot on the show. Where does that come from? Comes from attending these conferences. There's people here talking about what's going on with currency. Well, if you're collecting rents in dollars, if you're putting dollars in the bank, if you're saving dollars or denominating your wealth in dollars, the health of the dollar long term is something you ought to be paying attention to. These are the types of conferences where those types of topics are being discussed. There's some politics. Not everybody is interested in hearing about politics, but you know what? Policies of government affect the value of your property, the economic environment in which businesses either create jobs or don't. And so these are all things that a diligent investor, a serious investor, ought to invest a little bit of their time and money in learning about and staying on top of. And that's why we're here.
And so the format of this show, it's a three-day show plus an evening to get started with. It starts on a Wednesday and then all day Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And there's a main hall where most of the sessions take place. And there's speakers who come out and speak. And then there are panels and things, some great panels this year. Then they do breakout sessions, what they call workshops in smaller format rooms. And then there's a big exhibit hall. So we're here in the exhibit hall, as you can probably hear. And lots of folks here you can run into and meet and ask them detailed questions and so forth. This morning, we had a chance to do an exhibit hall tour,
yeah,
which was as the real estate guys. We went around and looked at a bunch of different vendors who have some relation to real estate. So we're going to hear from a couple of folks today who have to do with agricultural real estate. So lots of different ways to invest in real estate. In this case, of course, your tenants are trees or plants or bushes or something other than people. And yet there's amazing opportunity in the agricultural space.
Well, ultimately, real estate is an opportunity to own a physical asset where you can store real wealth and hopefully create a yield income. Now, we always think of real estate in terms of housing, but if you really think about it, that's all a farm is. It's just a piece of dirt, and it is a place where you can store your wealth, and then the yield on the land comes from the agriculture grown on it, or the tenant, the farmer, who is actually using the land to produce a product. So the business model really isn't all that foreign. And then if you think about it, it's maybe less dependent on what's going on in the labor market and the job market. We see all the time in real estate, it's about jobs, 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 jobs. Well, that's true, and then you have to get the geography really right. You've got to pick a good local jobs market if you're going to be renting to tenants. But when you are investing in farmland, you get the crop right, and it's not that hard to do, and then you understand that the entire world is your customer. In other words, these are crops that get exported. Now, it doesn't mean you have to be the farmer any more than you have to be the gardener or whatever at the rental property you own. And it doesn't necessarily mean that you have to be involved in the distribution of the produce or any of that. Every part of the food chain that has to be done is can be done by somebody else. Your mission as the investor is simply to own the land that the product comes from. And that's what really the essence of the investment is.
Now, we've talked agriculture in the past, and we've had our mind around this for the last few years on our Investor Summit. The last several years, we've had a different agricultural real estate to talk about. And today, you're going to meet two different folks who do two different things in two different parts of the world. So, agricultural real estate from the New Orleans Investment Conference this week on the Real Estate Guys radio program.
Real estate investment advice right in your mailbox. Sign up for the free Real Estate Guys newsletter at realestateguysradio.com.
Are you achieving everything you want in life? What if there was a time-tested way for you to get everything you've dreamed of? The most successful people in life set goals and keep themselves accountable. But how? The good news is that it's not rocket science. You too can learn the skills and unleash the motivation that will create success in your life. And now is the time. Hi, this is Robert Helms. I'd like to personally invite you to attend Create Your Future, the 2017 Goals Retreat, January 6th through 8th in beautiful San Diego, California. This unique weekend has been called phenomenal, inspirational, and life-changing by the hundreds of people that have attended. Find out more at realestateguysradio.com and click events. Or call 888-489-7723, extension 18. Get your life back on track physically, spiritually, and financially. Attend the 2017 Goals Retreat on the first weekend of the new year. Click events at realestateguysradio.com to register. This is no dress rehearsal. Live the life you were meant to. Visit realestateguysradio.com or call 888-489-7723, extension 18 today.
Hi, this is Gene Epstein, economics editor from Barron's, and you're listening to The Real Estate Guys.
Welcome back to The Real Estate Guys radio program. Thanks for tuning into the show. We're talking about real estate as always, but this week, a unique type of real estate, agricultural real estate, and the gentleman you're about to meet knows a lot about that. Not only does he help clients find agricultural properties that are suitable, but he's an attorney as well. Please welcome back to the program, Mr. Juan Fisher. Hey, Juan.
Hey, how are you? Thank you very much.
Well, it's good to see you again. You cruised with us on the Investors Summit. That was a lot of fun.
That was quite an event, yeah.
Yeah, we got to learn a ton about what you do, too. And this is what's interesting, is that your business is in Uruguay. And I guess first, why Uruguay?
Well, Uruguay, for me, for starters, it's a country where I'm from. Uruguay is a country that's singled out. If you look at Latin America, there's one country that's singled out for its stability, for its safety, and that's Uruguay. You know, it's the country with the highest GDP per capita, lowest level of poverty, lowest level of corruption. So it's been historically, it's been dubbed the Switzerland of South America. It's been historically a safe haven for investors.
Well, and we learned a ton from you when you're on the summit. One of the things that surprised me is just how much food Uruguay produces.
Amazing, yeah. As small as Uruguay is the size of Washington State. It has just 3.5 million people, but it produces food for 50 million people. And it's one of the top 5 or 6 producers in the world in beef, in rice, in grain, dairy exports. So it's a huge player for its size.
Yeah, absolutely. So paint the picture of what your investors are supposed to come to you, what they're usually looking for, and the types of opportunities that you guys see.
Yeah, Uruguay is basically known for its stability and its safety. So we got investors who are looking for that stability, especially in times of uncertainty, especially when there's not a lot of out there on the menu that looks good in the long term. So Uruguay offers one thing that is very likely to have a good appreciation over time, and that's farmland. Farmland is driven by increasing need for food, by increasing global population. So on a long-term basis, farmland is probably one of the best investment categories you can have. And a lot of experts, Jim Rogers, Jeremy Grantham, have been singling out Uruguay as one of the best places in the world to do this.
Well, and it's not been over-farmed. You know, you hear these stories of the soil getting depleted, but that's not the case there.
Yeah, the beauty there is that Uruguay used to be basically a big, huge cattle ranch.
Right.
Okay? Agriculture was marginal. 15 years ago, we just did 100,000 hectares, or that would be a 250,000 acres of agriculture.
Yeah.
With the food revolution, China's demand, Asia's demand, Uruguay realized we have this land in a third of Uruguay, which has the highest yielding land. We have this land that we are underutilizing. And that kick-started the push for starting agriculture on a large scale. And within a decade, we went from 100,000 hectares to 1.5 million.
Wow. So you've always had cattle. You still have cattle. But now there's these areas where there's been all of this great fertilized land for all these years. What amazed me, and I know you can speak to this one, is the fact that it's not guesswork about the quality of the soil, but you actually know ahead of time what the soil's like. Can you talk about that part of the equation?
Yeah, one of the neatest things Uruguay offers is the transparency to the foreign buyer. And this is reflected by the fact that every single lot has a number. You plug that lot number, a property number, into a website, and obviously we can give you the link to that, and maps will pop up. Maps showing the soil types, the percentage of each soil type, the productivity index of each type, and the weighted average productivity of the whole property. So that makes it very easy to verify what properties are worth, what properties are good for, and it's simply a fantastic tool for foreign investors. You know, Uruguay is the first country in the world to have done it. There's only two that have done it on a nationwide basis. It's Uruguay and France.
Wow. Well, and I guess depending on what you're planning to plant, you need different qualities of soil. So why would you need to overpay if you don't need the high quality? You gave some great examples like forestry. So one of the potential crops is to grow timber, and that soil doesn't have to be the same soil as you might use if you were growing wheat or corn or soybeans.
Absolutely. That's a great observation. On one end of the spectrum, you have the high-yielding soil, which you'll use for crops. On the other end of the spectrum, you have the sandier soil, which you use for forestry. Uruguay and southern Brazil have, given their conditions, the fastest rate of growth of eucalyptus in the world. And it's no secret, you know, Uruguay has the two biggest paper mills in the world, owned by Finn and Swede companies, a third one being built right now. So there's going to be a growing demand for those trees, and that's one of the reasons that's another very popular investment proposition.
Now let's talk about the economic model, because there's different ways that investors can get involved depending on, I guess, how much work they want to do and how much land they want to get.
Yep. Basically, people, when they go for land, when they go for farmland, they're looking at a long-term thing, appreciation. That's their main driver. I'm looking at something that I buy today. World demand for food will keep increasing. It's going to be worth a lot more in 5, 10, 20 years. Now, in the meantime, you want some income. And basically there you have two possibilities. You can lease out the land. There's a very liquid market for leasing it out. The last 7 years, the returns have been, 7 to 10 years, the returns have been in the order of 3 to 4% for leasing it out. You're paid up front every year. Okay. The alternative is hire a farm management firm and basically do everything for you. And after costs, taxes, everything, there the yield over the last 7, 10 years has been about 7%. And obviously this is not accounting for appreciation of land. That's another factor.
Right. This is just the cash yield, if you will, on the crop. And it's like, think of it this way in terms of multifamily. If you want to hire a property manager to do the work, that's like hiring a farm manager, mm-hmm. and you're going to see a little more return. I might have a 100-unit building, and I might just sign one master lease and let someone else run it, and I'm not going to make as much. And so you could do that. You could just lease out your entire farm. It's a completely hands-off investment, and the returns aren't as high. Or you might decide, no, I'm going to do a little more of the organization. I'm still not doing the farming myself. I'm hiring that done.
Exactly.
And you make a little more yield. But meanwhile, what your market has shown is pretty decent appreciation over the past few years. In fact, there's maybe an opportunity now based on that. Talk about the chart you showed us that kind of shows the timeline of values for farmland in Uruguay.
Yeah, so we've had farm prices appreciate in the world for the last decade. Okay, and this is a pattern that's in Uruguay, in the U.S., Midwest, everywhere in the world.
Yep.
Productive farmland going up. In Uruguay, the last time we had had a drop in prices was in 2002. This year, or basically starting the end of last year, for the first time in 12 years, prices dropped, okay? Given China's slowdown in 2014, the drop in commodity prices after that, land prices all over the world declined. You know, in the U.S., I think you'd seen declines on average of about 12-15%. Now in Uruguay, you're seeing opportunities at 20, 25, sometimes even 30% off their 2014 peak. So basically what we have is a great buying opportunity, a window that has opened for the first time in 12 years. I think it's going to last throughout 2017. You know, global growth is probably going to be flat, pretty flat, or pretty moderate, so we're not going to see any big surprises. But after that, the likely thing is that the upward trend of appreciation that's historical and that has been going on for all this time will continue.
Well, I tell you, what we see is the fact that there is a calorie crunch. We don't need less calories. We need more calories. There's going to be more demand for food, more demand for beef, and this is the kind of land, and it's not that expensive. I mean, you showed us several case studies. I don't think any of them were over $4,000 U.S. an acre.
No, exactly. Land prices range from about $700 to $800 an acre for the lesser quality soil. And again, I'm not saying that it's bad land. It's just for other uses.
Right.
All the way up to about $3,500 an acre for the best land. And I would say that the good, high-yielding agricultural land, you'll find in the $2,500 to $3,500 range.
Now, here's what's fascinating to me, Juan, is that your background is actually as an attorney. You're not a land broker. You're not a farmer. You come at it from the legal side, which is really interesting, and you have a network of brokers that can feed you all kinds of deals. Talk about kind of your angle on this whole thing as a practicing law firm.
Yeah, so, you know, we're one of the major law firms in Uruguay, and about a decade ago, we spotted that there was a huge interest in foreign investment in land. A third of the land in Uruguay is owned by foreigners, and that also attests to how investor-friendly it is.
Yeah.
And we spotted this opportunity to help investors, large, small, individual, and institutional, have a one-stop shop to engage in investing in this asset category. So basically, we set up what's called a Farmland Investment Advisory Unit at our firm. It has its own website called UruguayFarms.com. And basically, it's a one-stop shop. We're being fed all the properties in the market by the three main brokers. So someone comes to us and says, I want this number of acres, or I want to invest this amount of money. We source all the properties that meet their needs, classify them, help them understand them, make a short list, suggest that the person come and tour them. You know, we give them a very educational experience, seeing everything, talking to the agronomist, talking to the potential farm management firm that's going to manage it, and then structure the purchase, manage it, or introduce another manager, find a tenant, and then do the bookkeeping. So basically, it's a very passive, hands-off operation for the investor.
Yeah, and you know, you're going to have a chance to talk to an attorney about all those questions you might have. If I'm just talking to, say, a farm owner, I might have to do a little more due diligence, but you guys do a lot of that in the front end for folks.
Exactly, exactly. And we've been doing this for a long time, so we know, we'll tell you what questions you should be asking.
Awesome. Well, this is a good stuff. I know it's a lot to get your mind around. The great news is that Juan is regularly presenting on it and has put together some great information for you. So before we're done, we're going to tell you how you get a copy of that. Hey, Juan, what are the things that you see? Who is it that's coming down and making these types of investments? Who are your clients?
Americans, Europeans, on a growing level, Europeans. Europe's having some upheavals. You know, you read the news. It has some countries like France and Belgium where taxation in the last few years has become just ridiculous. So we have people coming from U.S., Europe. The last year, lots of South Africans, lots of instability in South Africa.
Yep.
We're at the same distance from the equator. You draw a straight line from Uruguay to South Africa, you arrive in Cape Town. So there's a lot of South African farmers looking for new options, and Uruguay fits them perfectly.
All right, good stuff. Well, it sounds like if this is interesting to you, you might have found a good time in the market to make a move as well. So good stuff. Well, Juan, we appreciate it. Always good to have you on the show.
Thank you very much.
You bet. When we come back, you're going to learn how you get the information from Juan Fisher and his firm about all this great stuff. Interesting to get your mind around agricultural real estate today on the Real Estate Guys radio program.
Need help with your real estate investment portfolio? Check out the resources page at realestateguysradio.com.
If you love real estate and have always wanted to own your own business, listen up. The Real Estate Guys and their panel of experts want to teach you how to go full-time fast in the real estate syndication business. These next few years may go down in history as one of the best times ever to acquire investment real estate. There are deals everywhere if you know where to look and how to assemble the resources. The Secrets of Successful Syndication Seminar will show you how to make big money doing big deals from a team of experts that have syndicated projects totaling more than $1 billion. Don't wait for someone to give you a raise or create a job for you. Attend the Secrets of Successful Syndication and learn how to build a team, raise capital, find deals, and make full-time money in 6 months or less. Go to realestateguysradio.com and click on events. All the big players use syndication as a way to diversify risk, optimize profits, and earn big money. You can too. Go to realestateguysradio.com and click on events.
All aboard. Registration is now open for the Real Estate Guys 15th Annual Investor Summit at Sea. Imagine spending an entire week with like-minded investors, world-class educators, and real-world professionals. Returning in 2017 are sales legend Tom Hopkins, international developer Beth Clifford, attorney Mauricio Raul, commercial mortgage broker and syndicator Michael Becker, and the author of The Creature from Jekyll Island, G. Edward Griffin. Plus, joining us live and in person for his fifth Investor Summit, Peter Schiff. Plus, more to be announced. It all begins April 1st, 2017 in Houston, Texas. Visit realestateguysradio.com and click the tab that says Summit to learn more and reserve your spot. This transformational week is like no conference you've ever attended. Go to realestateguysradio.com and click Summit and make plans to spend a week with the Real Estate Guys and an all-star faculty on the 15th Annual Investors Summit at Sea.
Hi, this is Garrett Sutton, Rich Dad's advisor. Remember, equity happens, and you're listening to The Real Estate Guys.
Welcome back to The Real Estate Guys radio program. Thanks for tuning into the show. However you're listening, tell a friend about The Real Estate Guys. What kind of real estate are we talking about today? Well, your tenants are plants. Rather than have them call you in the middle of the night complaining about their neighbor or having to have a rent increase or any of that, instead, agricultural real estate has really gotten our attention the last couple of years. It's my pleasure to welcome to the show Mr. Alex Wilson. How are you?
Hey, I'm well. Thanks for asking us on.
Well, sure. It's good. We've actually known each other now for a little while.
Yeah, and, several years. I think 2-3 years at least.
Yeah, had some conversations. And you guys do a really cool thing. You grow trees. Tell us about that.
We do. We're in the Central American tropics, and we're there growing precious hardwoods, the very valuable side of the hardwood industry, mahogany, cedars, teak, all of those kinds of things that end up in beautiful flooring, furniture, stuff like that. We've been at it a while. We started in 2004 privately between my partner and I. And then about 3 years ago, we made the leap, if you will, to bring on private owners so we can manage their portfolio too. And so most of our clients are looking for a little bit more long-term, a little bit more security. We all love real estate, but sometimes real estate can be a little cyclical. We really don't get too much of the cycles in agriculture.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. The product-wise, if you think about lumber and timber, there's your run-of-the-mill standard stuff that you go to, you know, put a chicken coop up in the backyard. Then there's the higher-end, nicer woods, and there's a science and art to making all those decisions and figuring out how to get that stuff to grow and all that.
Well, absolutely, and part of that, of course, is the geography. I mean, if you're in the tropics, things got a lot of the natural things that you need. I mean, you need a lot of rain, you need a lot of sun, you need a lot of nutrients in the ground, you need a lot of access to eventually sort of put the product into something other than just lumber, making it into furniture, making it into flooring. And so down there with the skill sets that they have, the artisans that they have. So yeah, growing it is one thing, and then actually processing is something else.
Right. Well, let's talk about the life cycle of timber. I mean, it takes a while to get it planted, to get it to grow. And so most investors are thinking in terms of a quarterly or an annual yield, but you have to think a little differently when you look at an investment like this.
You do. There's something called the illiquidity premium, and that's really comes into play with timber. And basically, the illiquidity premium is the little extra return that you get for holding assets that are less liquid. In fact, a great book, I think, that illustrates it really, really well is The Alternative Answer by Bob Rice.
Okay.
And so one of the first things that Bob talks about in the cover, in fact, the cover sleeve of the book, is how high net worth people like timber because it gives them the security, but it also gives them that added bump in their ROI. So you talk about the timing and how long do you have to wait.
Right.
That depends on the species, of course. And especially in this region, there's many, many tropical species. But if you've got an 8-year cycle, if you've got an 8 to 10 year term, I think you really can put together a diversified plan. You can probably put some mahoganies in there. You can probably put some cedars in there. But you've got to have, you know, it's no good getting into this business thinking you're going to speculate, thinking you're going to get an income very quickly, because you don't get an income until you harvest, and you have to wait for the harvest.
Yeah, and then so how does it work when you, let's say you have an 8-year or 10-year harvest? Do you replant after that and go again?
Absolutely. Trees are somewhat a little bit like us humans. Some of us get tall and skinny, and some of us get gets short and stocky. And so these trees are like that. You can't tell when you put a sapling in the ground, but by the time the tree's 2 or 3 years of age, you can see that it's, hey, this guy's 6 feet already, when his next door neighbor maybe 3 feet. So yeah, you diversify across those things. And with regards to the income processing and the replanting and the laddering, if you will, of cycles, when you first plant, of course, you're gonna wait for the tree to get to a mature size. And they'll mature, as I say, in different ages, 8, 10, 12, 15. Once you've started that cycle of harvesting, then you want to replant as soon as you can.
Yeah, sure. Now, as I've watched your presentation, it's occurred to me that, wow, what if I invested a little this year, a little next year, a little next, before you know it, now you could structure it in a way that the yields will be spread out a little more, and yet you get the same net result.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. In fact, one of the things that we do early on in a relationship with a client is try to ascertain and try to make sure that we understand what they're trying to accomplish financially. Because
yep.
It's not just buy timber because timber's a good asset space. It's buy timber because you have specific reasons and when you want to sort of get to the cash. And maybe sometimes investors are not looking to get to the cash. Maybe they have legacy interests at heart. But if you're really looking to do something in your lifetime, that's a really good plan. Don't put all of your money in at the first, you know, in one go.
Right.
Ladder it out a little bit. It makes more sense that way.
Now, awesome stuff. A, in addition to the hardwoods and things you do, you also have another crop, if you will, that is timber-related but yields more regularly, and that's coconuts.
Yeah, that's a strange one for us. It took us a little while to decide to do something other than timber because we are timber guys. I mean,
right.
We backed into the industry to begin with, and it's not like we were timber experts. But once we got it and once we saw the yields from it and once we knew what we were doing with it, we kind of said, hey, this is a low-risk, high-return asset space. We like that. Let's not try to become, you know, crazy farmers. If you come to my house, you'll see that, you know, a plant that was bought from Home Depot on a Friday might be dead by Sunday. I'm not the most wonderful green thumb guy.
Yeah.
But we did look at coconuts, and thanks to my daughter, actually, who was the one that brought it to us. And so that's kind of strange. She was 13 at the time, and she had this acne coming on her face, and someone at school told her, hey, you should just put coconut oil on your skin. Well, because I'm from Europe, and so I don't believe all of these sort of get healthy quick kind of things. But she did it, and it worked. Well, lo and behold, before long, it was coconut shampoo, and it was coconut milk. And I said to Ken, my partner living down there, do you know anybody that's growing coconuts? He said, oh, my father-in-law has about a half a dozen trees on his farm. So I said, you know, I'm looking at this online, and I'm watching the growth of the coconut as a commodity. So 4 years ago was when we started learning about it. We had to get ourselves serious, and we found a real expert, the only certified coconut seed pollinator in all of Central and South America. And so we took a little bit of a leap, Ken and I, and we planted several hundreds of thousands of acres just for us to begin with. And it actually has been a great progression for us, been a great addition, if you will. So, yeah, we're in the coconut world now. And as you mentioned, it's a little different of a tree. It's an annual producing crop.
Yep. So it doesn't produce right away. It takes a few years to produce, and then it produces for a long time.
Yeah, it's about 4 years for them to really start. Some of them may start in three, but, you know, we want to be on the conservative side. We did get 75 nuts this year from the trees that we planted in 3 years ago. But I think if you say 4 years is when the tree starts to produce. And she ramps up a little bit in year five, and then she really becomes mature in year six. So from year six on, it's pretty steady and you know, it just does what it does. And they last for 60 years. I actually call it my agricultural annuity.
Yeah. Wow, cool stuff. So now, as a real estate investment, what an investor does is they own a specific part of one of these farms.
Absolutely. Imagine you're an investor in a multi-unit sort of apartment complex,
yep.
And you may have bought into a REIT or something like that. You own a percentage of what's going on. Well, what we do is similar, but not exactly the same. We're fee simple real estate guys.
Yeah.
We love to own the dirt. We want the deed and the dirt, so
sure,
to speak.
Yeah.
And so what we've done is we've said, hey, what's a way for us to be able to assist the client so that they get both benefits, not just the return on investment from what's growing in the ground, but from the appreciation of the asset space itself, the dirt.
Yeah.
So inside of these managed plantations, what we do is we subdivide plots individually for each particular client,
yeah.
Whether they want a small plot, a medium-sized lot, a large lot, and then they get the deed. We plant upon that plot of land something that fits their financial sort of makeup, if you will, and then we manage it on their behalf, just like a property manager would.
Yep. So let's talk a little about just what the investment looks like, kind of the minimums, what's the range, who do you guys have that are investing, what's the profile of the investors?
Yeah, we generally work with accredited investors.
Yeah.
The minimum investment is $100,000.
Okay.
Obviously, there are numbers much higher, but, you know, get to know us first. I always tell people, listen, if when you're spending a lot of money, that's a lot of money.
Yeah.
First of all, do business with people you like, people you trust, people you know. We have a big social impact part of our business, a big environmental impact part of our business. So investors that have other than just a monetary sort of focus, and I like making money just as much as anybody else, but
sure.
If you're also interested in making, you know, other kinds of impacts, then that's a good fit for us too. If it feels good, do it. If it doesn't feel good, if there's something about it that doesn't feel right, don't do it. And the way you get those answers is you come and visit us. You come and walk the plantations. You come and shake the hands of the people that are doing the work. You come and meet our accountants and attorneys. You get to know us a little bit.
You know, this is a critical thing, especially in agricultural real estate, because you may not need to go down and visit the farm two times a year as an investor. But at the beginning, it's a really good idea to get your mind around it, to see it with your own eyes, to, as you say, get to know the people involved, because at the end of the day, that's who's responsible for your return. How do you do those trips? Do people come down at a scheduled time? Or what does that look like?
Either way, I mean, my partner permanently lives there.
Yeah.
He's decided that the U.S. is a nice place to visit as opposed to a nice place where he lived for the first 40-something years of his life. So you can come down anytime you want, so long as Ken is there. Of course, you can come and meet the other guys, too. But Ken's a co-owner of the company, so it's probably best to see him. And then we have scheduled tours. We do a tour probably every 4 to 6 weeks. And we don't like the tours to be too large because this is really a personal approach. So
yeah.
If we can get 4, 6, or 8 people at a time, two or three or four couples, that's ideal. They get to know us, we get to know them a little bit, get to sit down and sort of, you know, chew the fat, if you will, about family and that kind of stuff. So yeah, at least every 4 to 6 weeks we're taking someone down there. But if our timing doesn't fit your timing, just jump on a plane and let us know. We'll pick you up at the airport. You'll have a good 2 or 3 days.
All right, so I'll tell you what, Alex has put together a great packet of information where you can learn more about precious timber on the wood side, also the coconut side. All you have to do is send an email to timber@realestateguysradio.com. timber@realestateguysradio.com, and magically that information will come to you. And my gosh, before you know it, you could be an international owner of coconuts or timber.
You could be an exotic agricultural investor.
There you go. Hey, Alex, great having you on the show, and good stuff.
Thanks so much.
You're tuned to the Real Estate Guys Radio program. We're talking agricultural real estate today. I'm your host, Robert Helms.
Hi, this is Bill Bonner. I'm author of Hormageddon, and I'm the publisher at Agora, where we publish more than 2.5 million readers around the world with the Real Estate Guys.
Memphis is famous for being the home of the king of rock and roll, but it's also the king of cash flow. If you're looking for affordable cash flow properties, it's hard to beat Memphis. Get your portfolio rocking and more cash flowing your way by calling Terry Kerr at Mid-South Home Buyers. Terry's the king of turnkey properties. Contact Terry through the resource section at realestateguysradio.com. And be sure to order Terry's Tips for Turnkey Rental Property Investing Report. It's free. Just send your request to turnkey@realestateguysradio.com.
Hi, this is Patrick Donahoe of Paradigm Life. Wall Street and banks spend billions of dollars per year in advertising with the goal to convince you that they are the solution. But take a look around. None of their advice has worked. The number one concern of all Americans is still money. So are you ready for another way? I've spent the last 10 years teaching people like you a superior way to build wealth and financial independence outside of Wall Street. I've developed a free e-learning program called Infinite 101, where you can learn about the perpetual wealth strategy. In this free program, you'll learn how to build your wealth without a 401k, IRA, or mutual funds. You'll also learn how to establish private financing without ever having to walk into a bank again. These are just two of the many ways this free program can propel you toward financial independence. Simply go to paradigmlife.net and click on the register button on the top right corner of the page to gain instant access.
Hi, this is Darren Hardy, author of The Compound Effect, and you're listening to The Real Estate Guys.
Welcome back to The Real Estate Guys radio program, heard every weekend on this great radio station all the time at realestateguysradio.com. It is part one of our two-part series on agricultural investment. This week, we're in New Orleans at the New Orleans Investment Conference. Always great to rub our brains against the brains of other investors. It's been an amazing conference, and we're learning a ton about all kinds of investment. In fact, before we're done, we're going to hear from the promoter of the show, Mr. Brian London. But first, let's play real estate trivia, your chance to win a prize by knowing the answer to today's real estate trivia question. And it's about a specific property right here in New Orleans. As soon as you hear the question and think you know the answer or just want to take a guess, send us your best guess to trivia at realestateguysradio.com. Trivia at realestateguysradio.com. The first person with the right answer is going to get a copy of CPA Tom Wheelwright's great book, Tax-Free Wealth. Before we give you this week's question, last week on The Real Estate Guys, we had Terry Kerr talking about delivering value to your tenants, and we asked this, where did Memphis get its name? Well, the city of Memphis was founded on May 22, 1819, and incorporated in December of 1826 by John Overton, James Winchester, and Andrew Jackson. They named it after the ancient capital of Egypt on the Nile River. Here's our real estate trivia question for this week. New Orleans here is the home of the Superdome, which is now called the Mercedes-Benz Superdome, primarily serving as the home venue for the New Orleans Saints. It also is the home stadium for the Sugar Bowl and the New Orleans Bowl in college football. Here's our real estate trivia question. Why is it called the Superdome? Why did they name this particular building here in New Orleans the Superdome? There's a specific reason if you think you want to know, or this is certainly one you could take a guess on. Send us your best guess to trivia at realestateguysradio.com. Include your name and your mailing address so that if you're the winner, we can send you a copy of Tax-Free Wealth, the great book by CPA Tom Wheelwright. That's today's real estate trivia question. We're here in the great city of New Orleans, Louisiana, at the 42nd Annual New Orleans Investment Conference, the longest-running investment conference in the United States. Let's meet the promoter of the conference and the editor of the Gold Newsletter, Brian London. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks so much for having me with you. It's a great pleasure.
Well, and thanks for having us. This has been an amazing event, as it always is, you know, getting all these folks together to talk about everything from the economy to gold and silver, oil, real estate, and of course politics this year.
Yeah, right.
A lot going on, so you must be exhausted at this point in the conference.
I'm starting to get a little tired, but let me tell you, the intellectual energy that you have around here, it's just, until people come here and experience it, they don't realize all of the benefits and advantages you get of being on site and being able to talk to people and being able to take some of our big name speakers and talk to them in the hallways and ask them questions and mingle with other investors who are very successful and have great ideas to share. So it's just a wonderful, wonderful event.
Yeah, I think you nailed it the first day at the opening where you talked about it's not just what happens from the stage, but making sure you're talking to each other.
Yeah.
Because the person who's serious enough to come here and devote 4 days to really learning, and there's so much to learn here, that's a pretty serious person.
It's a serious person, and I'm not sucking up to them when I tell them that because you're here, you've told me you're smart. And
right.
Look around, and there's a lot of other smart people here, too. And they all have really good ideas, really valid insights on the markets, and there's a lot to be gained just by talking to your fellow attendees.
Now, this year's interesting because, of course, gold has been a great performer this year, and, of course, that means a lot of the mining stocks and a lot of the companies around that are looking a little different than they did even a year ago.
Yeah.
Talk about that side of it, the folks who are coming and what the big takeaways are.
Well, they're smiling a lot more this year. And, you know, last year, the market seemed to be bottoming, but we didn't know when it was going to turn up. And lo and behold, it turned right up shortly after the conference, and we had a great year so far this year. And people are wondering, well, what now? We've had a bit of a pause in August, and it looks like we have a really good chance of repeating the pattern that we had last year. You know, the Fed tried to squeeze in a quarter-point rate hike last year at the last minute in December, and that marked a launching point, actually, for gold. They're trying to do the same thing this year, and if you look at all the economic evidence, that should form another launching point for gold into 2017.
All right, good stuff. Now, it's a little early to talk about next year, but let's do that anyway. What are the plans for the 43rd Annual New Orleans Investment Conference?
Well, we'll be right here again, and you know what? One of the things I'm excited about is I found a few new speakers this year who are really, really brilliant, and I'm looking forward to bringing them back. They had some great ideas to share, And we had some of our old favorites that weren't able to make it this year, so we're going to bring them back for 2017. And it's going to be bigger and better.
Well, we're always excited to come here. I learn something every single day at this conference, and it's not always what you would expect because you have a wide variety of vendors here. Yep. The speakers are great. The panel discussions,
yes,
where you get folks up who have maybe differing opinions about the direction or mm-hmm. even the history of stuff, it's always lively.
Great give and take. Last night in the Mining Share panel, we had some wonderful tips passed out by really the best people in the industry giving their top picks. And, you know, you just grabbed me as I was walking by the booth. I was just talking to other of our exhibitors right down the walkway from you. There were wonderful opportunities, and as soon as I can, I'm going to go buy some stock. It was
You got to eat your own cooking, right?
I have to eat my own cooking.
Especially in a town that has such good food as this one does. Well, thank you, sir, and it's always great to have you on the program, and we'll look forward to next year at the New Orleans Investment Conference.
Thank you for having me. Always a pleasure.
There's Mr. Brian London. It's not too early to start thinking about coming to New Orleans in October. It's an amazing time to come here. The food is great. The people are great. Entertainment is great. You're going to fill your head with knowledge. We'll tell you how you can stay up to date with what's happening here when we get back. You're tuned to the Real Estate Guys radio program. I'm your host, Robert Helms.
Live nationwide, you're listening to the Real Estate Guys. Find out more at realestateguysradio.com.
If you want to retire in the next 5 years or less through real estate, then please pay close attention. My name is Brad Sumrock, and I've taught thousands of my students how to replace their incomes, quit their jobs, and retire faster than they ever thought possible by not investing in single-family homes. You see, there's a secret to retiring fast with little risk, and it has nothing to do with being a landlord, fixing toilets, or flipping houses. The secret is multifamily apartment buildings. Starting from scratch with zero experience, I managed to pocket over $1 million in cash and retire from my 17-year corporate job within 3 years of apartment investing. Now, this is not your typical no-money-down real estate training. We believe in smart, hard work for intelligent people. So if you're good with your finances, have a decent job, or saving your money, and you're looking for a change and getting out of the rat race, then investing in apartment buildings might just be the answer you've been looking for. Send an email right now to Sumrock at realestateguysradio.com to get the details of my upcoming training event. And you'll also receive my free training webinar, Apartment Investing for Beginners. That's Sumrock, S-U-M-R-O-K, at realestateguysradio.com.
Hello, this is Robert Kiyosaki. I'm the author of Rich Dad, Poor Dad. And if you're serious about learning how to invest in real estate, listen to the Real Estate Guys. They really know what they're talking about.
And welcome back to the Real Estate Guys radio program from New Orleans, Louisiana. Oh my gosh, so much to learn at the New Orleans Investment Conference this year.
Yeah, it's really fascinating. You know, if you think how far outside the conventional real estate investing box for the average American, maybe for those of you listening to the show, you know, you're out there and you're thinking, God, I would have never considered any of these types of investments. But you listen to these people, and they live in these countries, and they are in this space, and they know it. And it was really a lot like us in the beginning when we first started investing across state lines and then eventually across international lines. And we changed product types more than a few times.
Yeah.
And so it's just an evolution of education you go through, and you become more comfortable as you're seeking answers to your portfolio questions. At the beginning of the conference, we had an opportunity to do a pre-conference workshop. And that was a lot of fun because we had a whole hour. Normally in these things, you only get about 20 minutes.
And we had a bigger crowd, four times the crowd of last time we did a pre-conference workshop here. It was amazing.
That was really, really interesting. And so the theme of that particular presentation was just how real estate can fit into a portfolio. And
yeah,
then we did a follow-up presentation in the main stage about how it fits into a safe haven portfolio. In other words, how do you build a portfolio that provides wealth preservation, income, asset protection, privacy, long-term hedges against both inflation and deflation. And we were demonstrating that this can be done through various forms of real estate and different forms of ownership structure and different jurisdictions. And then you go start looking for, okay, that's great. Now I understand the concept. Where do I get the pieces of the puzzle to put into the portfolio? And that's exactly why we do these types of interviews, to give you an opportunity to see. In fact, I think we're probably going to end up doing a whole show based on that presentation we gave, because it was really well received, and I think that our audience will really enjoy hearing hearing it.
Well, and if you look at the makeup of who attends this particular event, it's 85% accredited investors, meaning they're high net worth individuals. We talked to how many people with millions liquid at this thing. I mean, yeah. It's not like going to a little RIA conference. No, you know, no disrespect. I mean, you got to learn somewhere. And people that want to buy little greenhouses, that's fabulous. And we have a lot of audience that does that. And we've got a lot of shows on those kinds of things. But this is a different audience. They think differently. They think in terms of investing differently. And as I was listening to both Alex and Juan talk, I'm thinking, okay, where does this fit into a real estate portfolio? It's probably not your first investment, maybe not your second investment, but once you've got kind of your main thing going, whether it's retail or you're an office or you're multifamily or single family houses, well, this is a way to diversify not only the type of holding you have, but the way the income is earned and where it physically is on the planet.
Yeah, well, I mean, some of these things are generational investments or can be. And that's great. If you're there at a stage in your life where you're talking about legacy and you want to find a way to leave something to your family for down the road, you know, my wife's grandfather was a pig farmer, of all things, in Northern California. And he owned land that eventually became downtown Menlo Park. And when that became valuable land, they built office buildings on it, and eventually it became a source of income through office. So even though the land and the use of the land changed, it still stayed real estate in the family for generations. And there were, you know, children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren deriving economic benefit. So that's one of the things. The other thing is, you know, you look at the globalization of the world and the opportunity to be able to diversify your portfolio. America has been an empire for 200 years, and it's still a superpower and one of the strongest economic engines in the world, but the world is changing. And it's fair to say that over the next 100 years or 200 years or 50 years or maybe 15 years, I mean, who knows, that there is a power shift going on in the world. And you can either just resist it and stay in one particular jurisdiction, or you can begin to diversify. Our friend Simon Black talks all the time about this concept of planting multiple flags, this idea that you can diversify your portfolio across multiple jurisdictions for all of the reasons that are, I think, probably obvious: privacy, asset protection, the opportunity to participate in different product types. Or, you know, we did a farmland conference way back in January 2015, before Donald Trump announced his candidacy. He was the keynote speaker there. It's where he first had an opportunity to do a live interview with Mr. Trump. It was awesome. So the concept there, though, what was going on in U.S. farmland made it very difficult to purchase U.S. farmland because the price was so high relative to the yield on the crops.
Yeah, just like a cap rate on an apartment building, if there's so many bids on it, it gets squeezed down. Pretty soon the returns don't look like they're worth the risk.
Correct. So seeing that, we said, well, where else in the world is there farmland where the ratio to buy is better, or the weather conditions are better, for suitable for certain types of crops? Maybe we don't want golden waves of grain. Maybe we want big tall trees or coconuts or coffee or something different, you know, and where do you go to find that? Well, sometimes the answer isn't in your home country. It isn't in your backyard. Well, live where you want to live, but invest where the numbers and the product type and the jurisdiction make sense.
You know, coming up on our 15th annual Investor Summit at Sea, we're going to talk about two different crops at least. So far, we know of two different particular agricultural crops we're going to be talking about, maybe more. And this is a great chance to be picking the brains of folks who are around this, other investors who have invested in agricultural. Again, it's certainly not our wheelhouse, if you will, but as real estate investors, we can't just get so dogmatic about what we invest in that we're leaving opportunity on the sidelines. And to your point, Russ, we're in a world that's changing, but with all this change going on, I don't see that humans aren't going to need to use wood or have food or fruits and vegetables or coffee or cocoa or all these things that we're talking about. We're probably going to need more of that
stuff. Well, so there's another aspect to that, too. So, of course, the idea that humans are always going to need these things, therefore you're investing in something that's real and essential, one of our themes in investing in chaotic times. The other part of it, though, is that these things grow no matter what's going on in the world. They don't care.
Wait a minute. Even during the election?
Even during the election, if somebody gets assassinated, if a currency collapses, if there's a regime change. I mean, unless there's a nuclear war that just wipes out vegetation on Earth or something like that, these things are just going to grow. And that means if you're in it for the long haul, no matter what happens, as long as you can retain your ownership, 5 years from now, 10 years from now, 20 years from now, you've got something that has grown in value consistently, irrespective of economic conditions. I can't think of too many other investments where you can really make that claim.
All right, so if you're interested in what you heard today, if you'd like some information for the folks at Precious Timber, just send an email to timber@realestateguysradio.com. If you're interested in what Juan Fisher had to say about Uruguay, you're going to send an email to uruguay@realestateguysradio.com, and we'll get you that information. Big thanks to those guys for sharing their time, and of course to Brian London for putting on an extraordinary event next October 2017, the 43rd annual New Orleans Investment Conference. We'll have information on how you can join us here. Always a good time. Until next week, go out and make some equity happen.
This episode of the Real Estate Guys Radio Show is brought to you by Paradigm Life, powerful cash management strategies using life insurance. Learn more at beyourbank.com. Mid-South Home Buyers, low-cost, turnkey cash flow properties in Memphis, Tennessee. Corporate Direct, asset protection strategies for real estate investors from attorney and rich dad advisor Garrett Sutton. Find these and other great companies under the Resources tab at realestateguysradio.com. To learn how you can expose your product or service to the Real Estate Guys audience, call 888-489-7723 extension 4. That's 888-489-7723 extension 4. Or use the feedback page at realestateguysradio.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week right here on the Real Estate Guys Radio Show.